The girls knew nothing of what was happening out east. The news piece about Marguerite Carlo's case was hidden inside a local paper 800 miles away. Dr. Martland's radical study from the year before was hotly debated, but only in the specialist medical press. Although his findings were reported by the general media of New York and New Jersey, such findings barely caused a ripple in the Great Lakes of the Midwest. Girls who lived in Ottawa didn't read the New York Times. To be fair to Radium Dial, therefore, they didn't have to implement the change. The girls were not laying down their brushes in protest, and it wasn't as though there was any outside pressure to alter the working practices. For despite the national study by Sven Kerr, with his conclusion that radium dial painting was hazardous, and despite the medical studies now being published that said the same, no organisation had intervened on the national stage to prevent workers beyond Orange being harmed. But although Radium Dial introduced glass pens, which were intended to put a stop to lip pointing, it doesn't appear that they were fit for use. Perhaps the firm rushed them out in a panic. From the girls' perspective, they were not a runaway success. Catherine Wolfe thought them awkward and clumsy to handle. And because the brushes weren't removed when the pens were launched, the dial painters continued to lip point, to clean up the runovers, runovers that were now plentiful due to the clumsiness of the new instruments. The girls conceded, "We were watched very closely at first to see that we didn't try to go back to the brush." But it was a watchfulness that didn't last long. "Supervisor wasn't too observant," another girl later said. Using brushes instead of pens to paint the dials was supposed to be a dismissible offence, but it wasn't a rule that was upheld. One girl recalled that she and 6 or 7 others got a little behind in their work because of the inefficiency of the glass instruments, so one day decided to catch up using brushes. They were fired by Mr. Reed, who saw them do it, but this girl went back right away and apologised. She was reinstated, as were the other girls at a later date. Gradually, after just a few months, the glass pens fell out of use. Catherine Wolfe remarked, "We had our choice to use the glass pencil or Jap art brushes, whichever we found the most efficient to use." Well, if that was the criteria, there was no contest. Some commentators later criticised the women for returning to the brush. "Those who were greedy," one wrote, "and profited from it, would do it the fastest way. And the fastest way to make perfect numbers was to use the mouth." But the girls were paid by piecework, not salary, so the impact of using the pens made a huge difference financially. Of course, they were not the only ones to profit from the choice they made. Radium Dial benefited too. And although Mr. Reed had been tasked with inventing the pen, once it became clear it didn't work, the company relaxed its rules and allowed the girls to go back to lip pointing without further intervention. After all, with 1926 bringing that new Westclock's production high, it was hardly the ideal time for the firm to insist on a new method of production, particularly one that was so ineffectual. "The company left it up to us whether we use glass brushes or not," Catherine Wolfe remembered. "I preferred the hair brushes, as the others were awkward. I didn't think there was any danger in placing the brush in my mouth." So she and Inez and Ella Cruz, another of the original girls, still lipped and dipped all day throughout that year of 1926. Catherine pointed the brush on every single number she did.